Y'all be seated. We got an awesome, awesome God. Well, your breakthrough is around the corner. Amen? Amen. We're going to talk today about something that most churches that I've been in hasn't talked a whole lot about, but we're going to talk about community. And in community, you'll see that there is safety. You will see that there is service. There's kind of skills. There's social care. There's transportation and poverty and education. There's a whole lot of different things in regards to a community. Now, in the book of Ephesians says, "For we are his workmanship." Okay? Now, there's a key here. We belong to him. He has created, it said, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so we would walk in them. Two things I want you guys to see. First of all, we're the workmanship of our Lord, and we were created in Christ for one reason, to do good works. But the thing that is so awesome, it says, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God has prepared us, created us, and then has prepared, before we were even born, the good works that you and I should do. And what is important is for you to understand your role in the community. Again, there's all different pieces that make a community. In the book of Psalms, it says you were formed, or he formed you, your inner parts. Everything about you was formed by God. But then I love this. He wove you in your mother's womb. And then he says, I will give thanks to you. How often do you get up and give thanks to God for what he's done for you? Just if nothing else to go, God, you gave me another day, and I want to thank you for that. Amen? And then it says, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. So when somebody comes in and starts knocking you down, you need to get the Bible and turn it to the book of Psalms. Maybe your life is not where it needs to be right now. Maybe you're going through a wilderness journey. Maybe God's got you right where he wants you. But you need to stand tall every day and go, I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made, and my soul knows that. Now, Jesus, in this next passage, was asking his disciples who they thought that he was. Peter told him, he says, I believe that you are Jesus Christ and that you are the Son of the living God. Everybody in this sanctuary today needs to be able to answer that question. If someone says, who do you think Jesus is? He is not a great prophet. Okay? He is the Son of the living God. And he is the only way that you and I get access to God. And you can't go, well, I hope he is, or I think he is. You have to know that he is, because it's instrumental in the community that we have. Well, in Matthew, Jesus said to him, blessed Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which was in heaven did. Now, in Matthew 16, Jesus said again, but I want you to see the importance. He says, blessed are you, Simon. Now that's Peter. He's the son of Jonah. But he said, you're blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. What revealed to you was my Father that was in heaven. But then he goes, but I also want you to know this. I want you to understand, Peter, that upon this rock, the rock that you call Jesus Christ, the rock that you call the Son of the living God, upon that rock, I'm going to build my church. And then it says, and the gates of Hades cannot overcome that church. Now, I want you to think about that. You're the church. We have built our lives upon Jesus Christ. And we need to get up every day going, I don't really care what Satan wants to do, because the gates of Hades cannot prevail over the church, and I'm the church, and that ought to get us excited and give God a hand clap of praise. Now, Jesus came for one reason, to build his church. And it's a body of believers that are willing, and in today's time, it's difficult, but a body of believers who are willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that through Jesus Christ, he would build his church. See, people today, and we've talked a little bit about it, that Allah and God are the same thing. Well, Allah has Muhammad, but God has Christ. So there's a big difference. There are a lot of religions that believe that Jesus Christ is nothing but a prophet, a good man. And he is a great man, but he's also God. And you and I have to get to the place to know for sure that he is the Son of the living God, and that that church, us, will be built upon Christ, and we can take a very offensive role to the gates of Hades that seeks to destroy the church today. Now, if you look again at community, you know, we come in and we worship on Sunday, but this is a community here. But there is a community outside the walls of this building. We are the church inside, but we are to reach the community. And there are people today that need education. There are people today that are going through poverty. There are people today that they have the necessity for transportation. And it's one thing to go, you know, I got a car, but what happens when you don't have the car? It's difficult to deal with. And there's the social and health cares. There are skills and experiences for all of us. And then there are services that you and I as a community need to render. And then there's housing. There are people in this world today, some by choice, but many because of life circumstances, that are living under bridges because they've lost jobs and it seems that no one cares. Well, Christ, Jesus, our Lord, was lied about. He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross. He died on that cross for you and for me. And because of the works of the cross, he defeated our greatest enemy. And now he sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, no longer as the victim, but he is the victor, who's the mediator for you and for me. Now I want you to look at the next statement. God wants more for us, not from us. Okay? He wants more than a person who will verbally confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Satan will tell you that Jesus Christ is real. But we need to understand that we need not just to confess, it's a bigger picture. See, God wants more for the church than to be pew sitters. But a person who understands that they are the church. People come to church and they sit. But if you understand who you are, if you understand what you're to do, then you would understand your role, that when I walk into this building, I'm getting filled up because I have to go outside the walls of this church to accomplish what God has called me to do this week. And here's the other. He wants a person not just believe in hell. He wants somebody that knows that they have the calling to kick down the gates of hell. See, Satan wants you and me to be defensive. Satan wants us to kind of back up when he comes, and that's where the church is today. Churches today are afraid to say hell. People are afraid to say Hades. People are afraid to go, oh my gosh, if you tell somebody if they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they might go to hell. You might offend them. Well, I would rather offend them and send them to heaven than not offend them and they go straight to hell. So if you're the church, you have to understand that hell is real. But that you are the church and you have power that can kick down the gates of Hades to let people out and free those that have been stuck in bondage for years. Now, God also wants us to work together. I know that's hard. Sometimes we don't like each other. You know, it's like, I don't want to do anything with them. Well, God didn't say that. God said, love each other. He didn't say one thing in Scripture about liking each other, okay? But he said, you got to work together. And the thing that's important is God wants us to work together for one reason, is to minister to the community inside this church and the community outside the walls of this church. And as a community, this will only happen through our tie. You talk about money, Pastor. But here's my deal. The only way that we'll ever minister the way God wants us to do it is through our tithes, through our talent, and us willing to give a part of our time. It's the only way it works. If we go, I'm not going to give, and you know, there's statistics out there of people that never give to church. They will never give a dime to a church. And I'm going to show you something in a minute why it's important to do it. But you also have talents that God gave you when he formed you out of the mama's womb. For one reason, to go out into the community and do good work. So there is tithes and there are talents, but you also got to give God your time to make this work. Now again, in Ephesians, it says, you are his workmanship. Now I got front in line, man, because he put a little extra on me. I'm a little bigger than some of you guys are, so I got the first, okay? But we're his workmanship. He created us. And he didn't create us as a puppet that will just sit down on a pew chair and do nothing. He created us because he said, I've got things that I want you to do, specifically you, No, not them, but you to do. And we don't look that way. But he created those things before we were even born to go, Corey, you're going to go play drums 40-something years later. You're going to get some training in the real world, but I'm going to touch you, and I'm going to train you, and I'm going to pull you out of the gates of hell, and I'm going to put you up on a stage, and you're going to minister to my people playing drums. Amen? Now, Galatians 2:20 says that we've been crucified with Christ. Very easy for us to say when you go through the waters of baptism. Very easy to read that passage that we've been crucified with Christ. Well, what does that actually mean? It means that you're dead. That you died to your old self. So you were crucified with Christ and you no longer live. All of your nasty ways no longer work. Because it says, Christ lives in me. So when you go places today, can Christ come with you? If you went someplace, would Christ be accepted? You know, when you sit down at the beer joint, would Christ be accepted there? Or if you're sitting at home and, you know, maybe you're having too many beers or too many drinks, do you think Christ is pleased by your actions? Because we don't understand that as new Christians in Christ, Christ lives in us. So wherever we go, whatever we do, Christ is in us, and he's a part of that. But it says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave me and loved me and gave himself up for me. He died the most painful death for you and me. Should have been us on that cross. But when he died, he took all of our sins. And just think about the sins that you've done in your life. Past, present, and future all went to the cross when Jesus was crucified. Now here's where the community begins to really has to kind of go, okay, I'm beginning to understand. If Christ lives in me, the Bible tells us that truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, if we believe in Christ, the works that I do, he says he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, Jesus Christ, crucified, died, buried, rose, and now sits on the right hand of God the Father. He has created us as his workmanship. Since he sits, he's finished. He's done everything that he's going to do. So he goes, if I've done what I'm going to do, then the church is now has to do their role. And he tells us right here, you can do the same things that I've done. But not only those things can you do, but greater things can you do. Now, there's nothing greater than raising somebody from the dead. But what it means is that we'll be able to do more of the good things that he did because there are more people that belong to the church today. What we've done this week, and it was so cool, the fire department came. Now, again, community. We're trying to get in the community. We're trying to get the community here. We're trying to reach. Fire department called me the other day, and most of the times they would call you to come in and do an inspection, you know, and I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go again. And they said, hey, could we use your building? And I said, sure, you could use the building. I don't have a problem with it. I said, what are y'all going to do? And he says, we want to train our arson dogs. So they put little pads down and they put different smells on them. And those dogs will search to find the accelerants on those pads in case that there is an arson. So we as a church not only opened up our facility to them, we fed them lunch, we gave them a good time, and we ministered to those people. Well, one of these days, they're going to come in here. It was kind of funny because we were all, Harris County came, Fort Bend County came, and Pearland came, and they go, hey, we really, really appreciate you doing this. I said, let's just cut to the chase. I'm just doing this so y'all leave me alone, okay? That's all I'm doing. And they were laughing about it, but they were really, really nice guys. And I said, anytime you want the buildings, it's yours. Come in and use it. And then Mary Merrick, which is a school, I think they're on 2234, but they called and they have a campaign that they're going to do for bullying. And they said, would you be willing, and it cost the church $360 to supply T-shirts to the school that says something about this bullying campaign that we're not going to put up with it. So we as a church have reached out last week to do different groups in our community that touch them in a way that they would never be touched except by this church and this community inside. Amen? Now, let's address community. Where do we go from here? Where do you go from here? Well, the Bible says, go therefore and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all that I command you, and he says, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the earth. Well, as a community, it is our task to go into this world and make disciples. It is our task to baptize them. Now, I believe that when we pray to receive Christ, you get God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You get it all. But the Bible also says, how much more of the Holy Ghost will God give to them that ask? Well, we need to help people. We need to teach people to go. There is so much more that's out here if you're willing to embrace yourself with the Holy Spirit. Now, in Luke, we talked before about money. One of the things that we ask, a lot of people will go, I'm just broke. I don't have anything at all. And I know a lot of people go, well, I want the church to give. But see, sometimes giving money is like pouring good wine into a bad wineskin. And what we want to do is sit down and help people become very successful in the trouble that they're in. Don't want to facilitate failure. So the Bible says, give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But here's the key. If you're not giving, and there's people all over the churches in America that don't give, but it says, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So what is important in the midst of this is that you need to ask yourself, well, the Bible says if I give, it'll give back. Because you can't outgive God. And I've shared the story with you. We gave Dustin, years ago, when he was young, he needed some money, and we gave it to him. He said, Dad, would you loan me some money? Well, if you're a parent, loan to a child means give, okay? It means you'll never see it again, okay? But it's a nice way of coming up going, could y'all loan me some money? Sure, we can, honey, I love you. Well, he brought the money back. Don't tell me miracles don't happen, okay? So he brought the money back. And Pam sat down and she said, I want to give Lori $250 and I want to give Dustin $250 back. And they're going like, what's this for? And we said, because we love you. That's why. Well, I had an engagement where I got paid $500. So I got my $500 back. My sister calls and she said, listen, she said, I need some money. She needed $300. I gave her $300. I went and had another engagement. Guy come to me and gave me $300. I don't know how many times Pam and I gave the money away and God would always give it back. And I'm here to tell you today that if you are low and if you're not where you need to be financially in your life, start giving to God. Maybe you go, I don't have anything to give. No, you got something to give. And if nothing else, give him $5. And I promise you that you'll begin to see that that $5 will come back as $10. And then the $20, you just can't outgive. So the Bible says for the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So trust God. Arnold hates this when I say it. If you've never given to church before, start giving. And if you're not better in the next six months, Arnold will write you a check back for the money you've given to church. We need CPR in the back, please. I'm telling you, that's how much I know that God will give back to you. Amen. Now, as a community, when we go, we're afraid. But the Bible says, behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. God, as a community, will help us. He's not just sending us out. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, if you have prayed to receive Christ today, or if you have already prayed to receive Christ, you are a new creature. You do not act like you did before because you have tools that God has given you. Old things passed away, and behold, all the new things have come. And the key is only a new creature will have a heart to turn from the flesh, to turn to the spiritual matters that concern our Lord and that will help grow this community and the one outside. Now, here's something else. It says, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Church, to accomplish what God wants us to do, I can't do it alone. Gary and Pastor D, we can't do it alone. Pam and my family can't do it alone. Community will take everybody in here with your tithes and your talent and your time to reach what God has called us to do. Now, why is this so important? Matthew tells, in the book of Matthew, the Lord saying, I also say to you, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. But he says, I'm also going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And then he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So you need to understand the power that you have. Now, you know, one person can do a little, two people can do more, but 400 people could do a whole lot more for the kingdom of God. Now, here's our first task. Our first task is to make disciples. Second task is to give of your tithes and your talent and your time. The third is to use the tools that God has provided you so that you can go into the community and change the community for Christ. Now, church, we're the church, and we're built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell cannot come against the church. Today, Dwight and I are going to go up and see someone that's in the hospital where the doctors have said he's not doing very good, and where the evil one has assaulted him with cancer. Well, here's the deal. We're going to go up there today, and the Bible says what we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What we bind on earth will be bind in heaven. We're going to go up there because the gates of hell are not going to prevail in that hospital room. Amen? Amen? Now, here's your role. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and the sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with the people, and the Lord, because of their efforts, was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Community is a group of people, by definition, living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common to accomplish God's calling. And for this church, it will take all of us, not some, to do it. So if you're a part of the community, I pray today that you will seek God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That if you're not giving, give a dollar and see if God doesn't give you more. If you're not giving of your time, give a little time. We need greeters. We need ushers. We need people in the children's department. We need people all over this place. Give a little bit of your time because you all have talent. And you go, I have nothing to offer. The Bible tells you different. God created you with a talent. He wove you in mama's womb, and he gave you the talents to do good work for the cause of Christ. It's time for us to start using those words. Give God a hand clap of praise.